Okay, so we're continuing in the topic of how much to spend on the fulfillment of mitzvos. We discussed most of the topic. There are just two more issues that I wanted to touch upon. And to tell you the truth, the outline, although it's pretty big, it could have been better organized. The last two topics, physical sacrifice to do a mitzvah, and defining what is considered an assay and what's considered a los assay, should have probably been reversed. Meaning, defining what's considered an assay, what's considered a los assay, probably should have been right after the topic of mitzvah los assay, of the idea that when it comes to mitzvah los assay, that we sacrifice everything. But just to make it a little bit interesting, so we're going to skip to that topic, and then we'll go back to the physical sacrifice topic. For that reason, and for some other reasons, which we'll get to soon, in a moment, relating to the Parshas HaShavua. But I thought, just to make it a little bit interesting, that we'll start with a shaila that was given to one of the poskim, and then we'll work our way from there. Meaning, we know the rule. The rule that we said is that Hamavazviz al Yavazviz Yosef Michomish applies to mitzvah saseh. You're supposed to spend up until 20%, not more than 20%, in order to be mekayim mitzvah saseh. But for mitzvah lo saseh, you spend all of your money in order to avoid violating a lot. Now, the question we need to focus on that's going to have ramifications is, why is that so? What is it about mitzvah saseh versus mitzvah lo saseh? Is it because, there are a couple of possibilities, is it because violating the los asay is a greater rebellion against God than not doing a mitzvah asay, simply because violating a los asay involves getting up and doing something, whereas just not doing a mitzvah asay is usually done passively, and that's the difference? Or do we say no? It has nothing to do with whether you're passive or active. It's simply that los asays are more severe, that typically a los asay is a much more chumer thing than a mitzvah saseh. And therefore, we're not willing to sacrifice lo saseh for money, but we're willing to sacrifice mitzvah saseh for money. Those are two possibilities of how to understand the chiluk with a lot of nafkaminas. For instance, nafkamina might be, what about mitzvah lo saseh midrabanan? Would anyone argue that a lo saseh midrabanan is more chumra than a mitzvah saseh da oraisa? Probably not. A lo saseh midrabanan is only din drabanan. Mitzvah saseh mida oraisa is a din da oraisa. So if it's a din in chumra and kula, so then maybe the din of not spending more than 20% should apply to lo saseh midrabanan. Another nafkamina might be, what if you have a mitzvah lo saseh that is violated passively? It's not violated actively. I just never get rid of my chametz, so I have chametz around on Pesach. I'm violating a lo saseh, bal yirah, bal yimatzeh, it's a lo saseh, but I'm doing it passively. What if you have a mitzvah saseh that's violated actively? Right? In that case, or that would also be enough nafkamina, right? Because there you're doing something active, but if it's only a mitzvah saseh, maybe doesn't meet that requisite amount of severity that's needed in order to have to give up all of your money. So these are, yeah?
Isn't there a saved off a lo saseh, like this thing that asay is much more important than a lo saseh?
Ah, so asay doch a lo saseh is not about the severity of the issue. That's something else. We're going to discuss that at great length from Yitz Hashem in the coming Shiurim. Asay doch a lo saseh. When it's true, asay is doch a lo saseh. The idea of asay doch a lo saseh, the Ramban explains on Chumash, is the idea that an asay represents the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, whereas lo saseh represents Yiras Hashem. Because I don't do something because I'm afraid of the repercussions of doing it. Right? I do something out of love. That's a labor of love. So of those two midos, Ava and Yira, Ava is the greater mida, and therefore Asay, the Ramban explains, is Dochalos Asay, simply because it represents a higher madrega of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But perhaps because it represents a higher madrega, perhaps violation of a los Asay is considered a greater rebellion. Meaning, even on a lower level, it's a greater rebellion against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Ramban interestingly says that's why we have a rule, Ein asei docha lo saseh shebamigdash. Even though asei is normally docha lo saseh, in the base of Mikdash, it's not so. In the base of Mikdash, an asei is not docha lo saseh. Why? Because normally we try to emphasize ahava over yira. Ahava Hashem is of more paramount importance, or is a higher goal than yira is. But in Mikdash, Pasuk says, it's Mikdashai Tira'u. In the Mikdash, we have a special emphasis on Yira when it comes to the Mikdash. So because we have that special emphasis on Yira, so the Lo Saseh will take on more importance when it comes to the Mikdash. But what I wanted to do is keeping that basic Chakira in mind, that basic question of what the difference is between Lo Saseh and Aseh. Is it the idea of active versus passive, or is it the idea that a Lo Saseh is just more severe? For instance, you get Malkus for violating a Lo Saseh. You get punished for violating a Lo Saseh. When it comes to not doing an Aseh, you don't get Malkus. So is it the severity, or is it just the active versus passive? And again, we mentioned a number of nafkaminas that may apply, and we're going to study exactly how those nafkaminas, how we paskin in those cases that we mentioned of nafkaminas, when you have passive mitzvah saseh, I'm sorry, passive violations of lo saseh, active violations of an aseh, when you have isurit lo saseh midrabanan. What if you have another nafkamina would be, what if you have an aseh that's very chamur? Sometimes you have an assay, it's only an assay, but it's much more chamer than a typical los assay, than even a los assay. For instance, there are two mitzvahs assay that you chayv kares for. Karban Pesach and Mila, you don't do your chayv kares for it. So if it's an issue of the severity of the iser, then I should have to give up all my money to bring Karban Pesach and to do Mila, because it's a very severe iser. It's something that's that you chayv kares for. So that's the basic chakira to keep in mind. But let's just take a look at an example, at a tshuva, a shaila that actually tells you a lot about the times that he was living in. If you look in source number 37, the Maram Shik. Maram Shik was from the greatest of the Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer. And Maram Shik was living in a time, like his Rebbe, where he had to fight very strongly against the Reform Movement. The Reform Movement was making major inroads, and to the extent that, if I'm not mistaken, it's either in Shuvas Maram Shik or Shuvas Chassam Sofer, where someone asked, one of them, a Rav, asked, can I go make Aliyah, can I go live in Eretz Yisrael? And they said, absolutely not, you're Osik B'mitzvah. I mean, you're fighting the Reform over here, and this is the mitzvah of the day. So you're Osik B'mitzvah, you're putter from the mitzvah of going to Eretz Yisrael. You can't just abandon the mitzvah that you're doing right now. Ad kedei kach, that it was such a melchama that they were fighting. So given that backdrop, let's look at this shayla. Source number 37. Michtava mishvua ha'avar kibalti anachon. I think I typed this up myself, so there are a lot of typos. He says, I received your letter recently. V'sham ne'amar lishaloti eitza kedas malasos ve'ich yase bedavar. He says, you asked me for advice what to do in the following matter. Sheparnasaso tuluyabo v'isha v'asara banam ketanim tuluyim bay. You have a wife and you have 10 children, 10 young children, and everyone is relying on you for parnasa. You're the breadwinner of the family. V'nizonim al yidei shalomid b'beisa medrash b'kilaso eza shiurim. What do you do for a living? So he's a mechanech, so he's someone who teaches. He teaches in the local base medrash, teaches Torah to a number of people. He gets paid whatever little amount of money he gets paid, and that's what supports his entire family. Umizem istapik, umisparnes ukvar asu bikilaso chadashos b'beis haknesses. And he said, and your community is one that you're the one that you're living in, the community that you're living in, and the base medrash that you're teaching in has made all sorts of new takanos, and they've started changing the way they do business. For instance, Habima b'ktzei hamizrach, the Bima has been moved all the way to the Mizrach, which was one of the clear signs of reform. We were just discussing recently the idea that that part of the Isser of Chukas Akum is generally doing things that don't have a tam, don't have a real reason for it, just because the Gayim do it. But the most severe level of Chukas Akum, the place where the Poskim are most strict about Chukas Akum, is in worshipping the way that Gayim worship. To the extent that there's machlokasim in the poskim when it comes to putting trees in the shul on the yom tov of putting trees in the shul on the yom tov of Shavuos, where some poskim say absolutely not, the Goyim use trees for their holidays, we don't use trees for our holidays. So the other poskim say, what are you talking about? We had it first. Meaning the idea of trees was to remember Har Sinai. We had it first. They came up with it later on to use trees. But apparently some of the poskim, it doesn't even matter that we had it first. We can't do our worship the way they do their worship. And we have to be very, very careful, specifically when it comes to Minhagim of a Beis HaKnesses. Rav Shachter talks about this extensively in a Sefer. When it comes to Minhagim of a Shul, we have to be extremely careful not to follow a pattern of worship that follows the way that the Goyim worship. So one of the classic reform takanos was that the reform would take the bimah from the middle of the shul and they would move it to the front of the shul. Like we said, in this shul, it's not really much of a difference, but in the mishnah in a few weeks, well, it still won't be much of a difference, but the bimah will move from the middle of the shul to the front of the shul. And apparently, that was a sign. That was a sign that they were changing things. That's why we mentioned on Shabbos. That's why Soloveitchik was opposed to the tefillah of Yigdal. He thought that Yigdal was also Chukas Hakam. It goes through our Ikarei Emuna. It doesn't go through their Ikarei Emuna. It goes through the Jewish Ikarei Emuna. But he thought that a tefillah that just encapsulates all the Ikarei Emuna in one tefillah is something that they got from the Catholics, because they have something similar, and therefore you shouldn't use it. So it's such an idea that when it comes to issues of a shul, we don't do what they do. Sort of Soloveitchik was against stained glass windows, right? Things like that. We don't do what they do. So he says, so this guy, he's supporting a family, a wife and 10 children. He's got, they all rely on him for parnasa, and he's learning and then teaching in this base medrash, and now they move the bima to the front. So the winds of change are blowing through his base medrash. V'karu m'sharav u'b'gdeim k'darkan v'afu p'ishayu. So he says, then you see that they wear the clothing, the special rabbinic garb that is meant to mimic the galach. It's meant to mimic the way the priests dress. V'afu p'ishayu rabbeinav. So this guy says, look, I don't like it. I don't approve of it. But afilu hachi ad ko lo mashmi tochale base medrash. I spent my whole life learning, so I'm not really equipped to do anything else. You know, this is what I do. They're paying the bills. The checks are still coming on time. They may be reformers, but the checks are still coming on time. And true, he can't totally avoid davening there. So he said the reason why he was matir for himself to stay in this position, the Shoel says to the Maram Shik, the reason why I allow myself to do this is because my family relies on me and it's Shalom Bayis, and my wife would kill me if I told her I quit just because they moved the bima to the front. And besides, if I'm running around looking for work to do odds and ends jobs, you know, here and there, I'm never going to learn. I'm never going to have time to learn anymore. The Talmud Torah can I get kulam? What could be more important than Talmud Torah, than having time to learn? V'gamshu adam chalosh, and also I'm a very weak person, he says. V'shavur v'ika bal tashchis degufei. He comes up with every, when a person wants to rationalize something, he'll come up with everything on the list. He goes through, I think it might be a violation of all Taryag mitzvos if I leave this position. Right? It's going to be bal tashchis. Bal tashchis of what? Of my body. I'm going to have to work. That's it's bal tashchis. It's going to wear me down. Umitzad gimel taimim elu hiter la'atzmo. So the guy was matir for himself to stay there. So he says, that's the background, the Shaul says. So I stayed there. But now, would you believe it? Va'ata shama shekama rabbanim v'dayanim hitfisu isr gadol beis hakneses. V'kar, I'm not sure what kar is. Kuf aleph hey resh. He said, what? Oh, the choir, maybe, I don't know. V'shei isuru chamer me'achilis chazer. He says, then all of a sudden, a kol kore comes out. I'm walking in the streets, I see a big kol kore against the place where I learn. And it says that it's worse than eating chazer to be there, and it's a horrible isser. And he says, I'm not sure, is this a Yaharig Val Yavar thing? Should I give up my family's whole life and our livelihood and leave this place? He says, personally, the guy obviously is Nogei Bedavar, who's learning there, says, I don't think it's Harig Val Yavar, because I don't think it's Avodah Zarah to stay in the Reform Shul, nor do I even think it's as bad as eating chazer. When you eat chazer, that's a preferred shisim in the Torah. What does it say in the Torah that you can't be in a Reform Shul? So that's the Shaila. That's what the Shaul asks. So let's see how the Maram Shik handles it. Nothing surprising in the Maram Shik's answer. If you know the style of the Maram Shik, which he got from his Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer took the phrase which was coined many years earlier and gave it a whole new context, Chadash Asr Min HaTorah. That was the Chassam Sofer's motto. That although when we refer to Chadash Asr Min HaTorah, we talk about the new grains that grow, that are usher until the Karban Omer, the Chassam Sofer applied it to everything else. That anything new, any innovation, any change in the way tefillah happens, in the way any innovation is asur min haTorah. You gotta keep the old minhagim the way they always were. That was Chassam Sofer's big thing. So he says, Va'achshav nava le'inyan she'ilaso. A lot of typos there. He says, let's go back to your shayla. Hinei l'shono tamua. He says, I don't understand what you're talking about. Right? What did the guy say? I'm not sure how severe an isser this is to be in this place. If it's a severe isser like achilas chazer, you're right, I'd have to give up my old parnasa, perhaps. But if it's not as severe as achilas chazer, it's a lesser isser, then it would be okay. So what's the Maram Shik touching on? Our basic chakira. We said that for a mitzvah saseh, you have to give up 20%. For a mitzvah lo saseh, you got to give up everything. So we asked, why the difference? What's the real difference between mitzvah and mitzvah lo saseh? So we suggested, maybe the difference is that lo saseh are more chamur. So you're dealing with an extra severe type of violation. Or maybe the difference is something else. So the guy, the Shaul, apparently was assuming it was a chomer versus not chomer issue, and therefore, lu yitzuyer, if you can come up with a lo saseh that's not so severe, then maybe you would only have to give up 20%, you wouldn't have to give up your whole livelihood for a lo saseh that's not so severe. So the Shaul, his whole logic was, yeah, it's usher, I understand that they're saying it's usher, but it's not really that bad, it's not really so severe. Ram Shik says, who cares how severe it is? What are you talking about? It's not so severe. So you're not chayiv misa for it. So you're not chayiv mal. What are you saying exactly? Who cares how severe it is? Va'anantanu, havi zayir b'mitzvah kala kibachamura. Right? Don't we know what the Mishnah says? That you should be just as careful about a mitzvah kala, about a less severe mitzvah, as you are about a more severe mitzvah. Uksiv aruchayim pentefales, v'darsh chachamim zal moi kadm, etc. Amnam kan pashut, afilu ein ba'alich harak isu drabanan. He says, let's take for argument's sake, let's say that it's only nisud rabbanan to do what you're doing. Still, asur lefarnes asatzmo v'sbeiso b'nisud rabbanan. You can't make a parnaso off of a nisud rabbanan. You're not allowed to make a living and support your family off of nisud rabbanan. El b'makom sheitiru chacham mishum kedei chayav. There are certain instances where the rabbanan waived certain dinim drabanan, certain yisurim drabanan, mishum kedei chayav, in order to support yourself. But he says, you can't say that just because in that instance and that instance, the rabbanan decided we're going to waive certain yisurim in order to support ourselves, in order to save our money, that means we're allowed to throw out all yisurim drabanan. No, he says, yisurim drabanan, you're also supposed to give up everything you own in order to avoid violating an isur drabanan. And he gives examples. Where did the rabbanan waive certain yisurim? So he quotes, if I'm not mistaken, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Lamed Dalet in Hilcha Shabbos, where the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Lamed Dalet, Shin Lamed Dalet is about Shalol Lifnos Otzer B'Shabbos. It's about Dinei Dleika B'Shabbos. It's about if a fire breaks out on Shabbos. So we discussed last week that a fire breaks out on Shabbos, if it's threatening a life, so you put out the fire, because Sakonos Nefashos. But if it's not threatening a life, it's just threatening your house, it's just threatening money, you're not allowed to put out the fire. It's Nisr Kiboy. However, what about the Yisid Rabbanon of removing everything from your house, including muktzah items? Right? Can you be carrying your flat-screen TV out of your house because the fire is raging on Shabbos? So you're not going to do the Yisud HaRais of Mechabe, but you'll do the Yisud Rabbanon of removing muktzah items. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'yesh matirim l'taltal ma'os u'dvar ma'muktzim k'dei la'tzilim m'pnei adleika o'mei onsim habayim l'gazlan." There's some more matir that you're allowed to deal with muktzah to save it from a fire or from ganavim. There's going to be a major loss, you don't have to worry about an isur muktzah. But the yesh osrim, there are some people that say that it's osir. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a machlokas rishon about this. It says Maram Shik, first of all, it's a machlokas. Second of all, it's dafka by Yisra Shabbos. Why were they matir it there by Yisra Shabbos? Well, I understand. If isurim drabanan, if we're able to be matir isurim drabanan in order to save money, shouldn't we take all isurim drabanan and just be matir all of them in order to save money? He says, no, over there's a special svara. What's the svara? Because here you have a guy. His house is on fire. So probably he's not thinking, you know, in the most halachic frame of mind, right? He's probably not in the most halachic frame of mind right now. He's going to do something. You don't sit there and just, you know, roast marshmallows, right? He's going to do something when his house is on fire. So what's he going to do? Probably one of two things. Either he's going to put it out, or he's going to save everything that's there. Which is worse? putting it out is much worse. It's nisudaraisa of mechabe, right? And then Maram Shik says probably not really nisudaraisa because it's malchashen tzrich legufa, maybe only nisudaraban. But whatever, let's assume it's nisudaraisa of mechabe. So Chazal said, better deal with the mukta than what you're likely going to do otherwise. But stam, in a case where you just have an issud rabbanon and you want to know, can I make money off of my issud rabbanon? The Maram Shik says absolutely not. That you're not allowed to make a living with issud rabbanon. And he uses very strong languages over here. He says this idea that you can be mechal Shabbos, and he says you're going to get rid of kalat arukula, meaning there won't be religious Judaism with such svaras that for issur that you can waive issur rabbanon in order to make a parnasa. People will work on Shabbos. Masu matan is only issud rabbanon. On Shabbos, so people work on Shabbos to make a living. Everything will, and everything can be rationalized as I'm going to starve to death. Meaning my family's going to starve to death. You know what? Maybe you go try to find work. The guy says, look, I never found work outside of the Beis Medrash. Maybe try to find work outside of the Beis Medrash rather than violate the surim of that you're violating. So you go and you try to find other work outside of the Beis Medrash. You expand your horizons a little bit in order to avoid violating the surim. He says, what, you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unable to be mefarnes you without violating an isur? Of course he's able to be mefarnes you. You just have to open your eyes a little bit and be willing to look. So obviously, it doesn't need to be said what the conclusion over here is going to be of the Maram Shik. Maram Shik says that if you look at the very end of the tshuva over there, in the last three lines, says via echi yihia, with all the arichas, with all the discussion, hinei omerlo she yazor ki gibor chalotzav. He says, I want you to be courageous now. V'yoda v'lo yevosh. I want you to go admit, don't be embarrassed. V'yomer b'farhesia b'fnei ha'mishalmim lo tagmulav shagdashos ha'heim al pi mashin esbar lo ata heim asurim b'nei Yisrael. You have to pronounce publicly that all these new things that they're instituting are absolutely asur. V'chalilu lav harisul chamor kal mishum parnasasu, and that God forbid you're not going to violate any yisurim for your own parnasa. Afilu misari chalilu lelech novin nad lo. Even if you're going to have to go and run around trying to find jobs, still you're not going to sell the Derech HaYashar. You're not going to sell what you stand for priti, for a little bit of money. Whatever. So he says you should get out of that place. Don't stay there. But why is this nogea to us? So again, that shaila that we raised. Is it a chomer versus kal thing? Is that why we only have spent 20% on the mitzvah sasei, but we have to spend all the money to avoid violating mitzvah lo sasei? Maram Shik sounds like, no, it has nothing to do with the chumra and the kula. It has nothing to do with which is more severe, because there is such a thing as a lo sasei that's not all that severe. Now, the Maram Shik happens to hold that this particular lo sasei is all that severe, meaning the asei, the lo sasei in this tshuva of the reformers, but he says, even if for argument's sake you were to say it weren't, still you would have to give up all your money not to be mefanis yourself with something that's that is even a less severe mitzvah lo sasei. Now, along the way in that tshuva also, the Maram Shik says, even if you only violate a mitzvah sasei, but you do it bekumva asei, you do it actively, that's also, you would have to give up all your money for that as well. So Maram Shik says very clearly, what do we hold? What's the difference between the asay and the los asay? Is it the severity? No. What is it? That to violate a los asay normally involves action. Normally, if you want to violate a los asay, if I'm going to eat chazer, I have to eat the chazer. I have to take it and eat it. To violate an asay involves inaction. It's passive. So that's a little easier. So to not take a lulav, I just sleep, and I don't take a lulav, and that's fine, and I violated the mitzvah sasei. And that's the real difference, he says. So, says Maram Shik, if you were to have a mitzvah sasei that took action to violate, then you would have to give up all your money, not to even violate the mitzvah sasei. If you were to have a lo sasei that would involve inaction, it would seem, that, for instance, chametz on Pesach, just not getting rid of it, not buying chametz, just not getting rid of it. Right, that's the whole discussion in the Rishonim, whether Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh is a lav sheyesh bo meisa or a lav she'in bo meisa. Because Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh typically is violated without doing any meisa. By owning chametz, what do? I just don't get rid of it, and I own it, and it's there. So it could be that it's a lav she'in bo meisa. There's no meisa involved. So if that's the case, then maybe we would only have to spend 20% in order not to violate that iser. Obviously, with chametz and pesach, it could get tricky. You know, you could have an You could have a collection of alcohol that's worth, you know, someone is, you know, that's worth more than 20% of your, you know, of your net worth, and you're not gonna. It's hard to imagine anyone telling you, yeah, you don't have to get rid of the chametz because you don't have to get rid of more than 20% of your assets. So whatever. So we have all sorts of haramas to get around that. But, yeah.
Case here in the Ramshit, what losa say is he being over? It seems to me that it's not a question of a say versus losa say. He's not really doing the losa say, he's just supporting by staying where he is, he's supporting something that he shouldn't support, and it's so severe that the Maram Shik is against it. But it's not necessarily a losa say versus losa.
Yeah, so the Maram Shik has a list of los hases that he thinks you're in violation of. You're being mesis and madiach, meaning you're causing people to go to stray far from mitzvos, which is nisr in the Torah. You know, it'd be mesis people to violate mitzvos. He has a whole bunch of los hases that he thinks it's chilul Shabbos because of what they do with playing the organ in the shul and things like that.
But he's not doing any of those things.
Right. Well, I guess the mesis, I guess he thinks any support of it is aiding in being mesis people. So the truth is, I haven't looked through the entire tshuva, but I assure you, I'm sure he'll come up with an entire list, probably of all tarryag mitzvos that somehow you're in violation of when you go to a reform shul. I'm sure he has a list. I don't, offhand, I'm not sure exactly what the yisurim are. Again, I would imagine mesis is one of them, but I'm not sure what all the yisurim are. Avodah Zarah in some way, I'm sure he connects it to Avodah Zarah. Okay, so that's the Maram Shik. Now, the Maram Shik is not alone in this assertion that it's all about active versus passive. Rabbi Kiveger quotes from the Chavos Ya'ir, and the Chavos Ya'ir also a very interesting tshuva. In source number 38, if you look at the Chavos Ya'ir, it says Sheila al dvar ploni shegadfu be. I'm not sure if that's a type of my type or not. I don't know what that word means. The Isra Yayin Nesach, Mipnei Shabikish Menu also Bal Melchama Sheyishta Yayin Nesach Imo O Yikta Azno. Apparently, a guy sat down with a Jew and said, took glasses and a bottle of wine and a sword, and he said, "Look, you could have some Yayin Nesach, you could have some Stam Yenim with me, drink some wine with me, or I'll cut off your ear." And the Jew, I guess, had time to write a letter to the Chavos Ya'ir. He wasn't sure what to do, so he quickly writes a letter to the Chavos Ya'ir. What am I supposed to do? Right, so sometimes you would imagine the letter was written after the fact, after he made the decision, or what was I supposed to do? Probably was more like it. Right? What did I do the right thing? Because a lot of times when it comes to the Yishailas, you don't really have time to deal with thinking it through. So he said, "What should I have done?" So the Chavos Ya'ir says, "Was he really going to cut your ear off?" Meaning, if the guy was just like he was saying it, but you know he's not really going to cut your ear off, so then maybe you should try to get out of it. You shouldn't violate an issur d'rabbanan. But he says, if you look in the Chavos Ya'ir, nearly him have a deeper bialma v'gizim lohayla lamar lishtos. He was just, you know, using it as an expression. Do this or I'll kill you. But he doesn't really mean he's going to kill you. He doesn't mean he's going to cut your ear off. So then you don't have to be so quick to drink. But if you're really afraid that the guy is going to pull out a sword, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do, so then you should drink with him. And he goes on to say that cutting your ear off is a sakana. Meaning the guy wanted to say, maybe what's so important about an ear? So if he cuts my ear off, I'll still be able to hear with the other ear. And maybe even with this ear, I don't know exactly how it works, if you cut the... Who do we have to ask? Evander Holyfield? Who was it that Mike Tyson with zero? Right, yeah, Evander Holyfield. Right, so yeah, I would assume it's still functional in some way. So if it's still functional, so maybe the guy said, who knows? Maybe it's not even called Sakanas Never when you take the ear off. So the Chavos Ya'ir quotes the Gemaras that we just did in the Daf Yomi about letting an Eved Ivri, letting an Eved Kanani go when you take off, when the Torah says, if you knock out his tooth or his eye, he goes free. Right, so the Gemara discusses, what if you knock off his ear? And the Gemara says he goes free there as well. So obviously if he goes free from it, it must be something that's considered Sakana Zever. It must be something that's considered for real. But the point is over here, the Maram Shik says that, I'm sorry, the Chavos Ya'ir says, he says that even if, that considering that it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan, Ulanias Taiti Nira, about 5-6 lines from the bottom, he says, Ulanias Taiti Nira, the Gamze Aser Rak Michiv Lifros Kol Mamono, Vlo Yavar, Gam Lo Yavi Atzmuli De Sakana, Vafilu Iser Nichlal, Kigon Shehita Lavasar Lachbor, and Bali Melach Shrekam. Okay, that meaning he's saying that that's not the part I wanted. That's not the part I wanted. Okay, I'm not sure where the part I wanted is. But if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in there, the Chavos Yair says that it's all an issue of Shev Al Taseh versus Kum Vaaseh. He also points out another important chiluk. He says, what if it's the following? He says, V'shamati Godel Mechalek, De'enu Mechuyiv L'Hatzel Atzmo Mamon Rak Shagai Yomer Lo Tein Li Mo'os O'Avar. I mean, the classic case when you have to make this decision is the guy comes to you and he says, give me the money, either violate this issur, or I'm going to take away your money. So then you have to decide, do I have to lose all my money or do I not have to lose all my money? So if it's an issur, if it's a los, I say you have to lose all your money. If it's just a mitzvah, you don't have to lose all your money. Right? Sheitein ma'os ve'en lo heter she'yisariv mizeh u'mizeh ad ki avli deha kos v'sakana sever. So he says that's where it's going to be usher. But what if the guy just comes and says, give me your money? And you say, well, if I do an Avera, will that make you feel better? And then I won't have to give you all my money? Meaning, in that situation, if you're the one that comes up with the suggestion, the guy says, you know, I want your money. And you say, well, maybe if I don't do any mitzvos, if I don't do lulav this year, so then can I keep my money? And he says, oh, that's a good idea. I'd prefer if you didn't do mitzvos this year. So didn't do lulav this year. So maybe that would be different. Maybe in that case, you would not be allowed to say, well, I don't have to give up more than 20% of my money for a mitzvah. But since you're the one that thought of it, you're the one that put yourself in that situation, so that might be different. Okay, so that's a separate suffix he has. What I thought was interesting, though, was what about when you have a... Well, we discussed briefly, if you have an Isser Drabanan, so we said that's totally in that same Chakira that we had. When it's an Isser Drabanan, so if it's an issue of the Chumra Isser, that it's so severe, well, Drabanans aren't quite as severe. But if it's an issue of active versus passive, well, Drabanans are also violated in an active way. So Pashas Chavos Yair says, even for an Isser Drabanan, you would have to give up everything you have in order to avoid violating an Isser Drabanan. What about a mitzvah saseh midrabanan? So you say, what do you mean? What about a mitzvah? For a mitzvah saseh da oraisa, you only need to give up 20%. Why would a mitzvah saseh midrabanan be any different? If I would say kal v'chomer, right? If a mitzvah saseh da oraisa, you don't need to give up more than 20%, then kal v'chomer for a mitzvah saseh midrabanan, you don't need to give up more than 20%, right? That would be the logical way to say it. However, there is a shita of the Maram Shik, the Maram Shik really explaining Rashi, in talking about the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, if I'm not mistaken. So the Maram Shik has, in the Tshuvas Maram Shik, it comes in three volumes. It has two volumes of Tshuvas, and the third volume is like a Minchas Chinuch type of sefer. It's a sefer of his own Chidushim on mitzvahs, on Taryag mitzvahs. So he goes through each of the Taryag mitzvahs with his own little Charifas to Kavartlach, his own little Chidushim on each of the mitzvahs. Very fascinating sefer, very nice sefer. So in that sefer on mitzvahs, Maram Shik sefer on mitzvahs, he discusses, let's assume Sfiras HaOmer B'Zman HaZeh is midrabanan, right? So he says, if it's midrabanan, would women be putter from it? Now, if it's daraisa, I would imagine women would be putter. Why? Mitzvah saseh shazman grama, right? It's a mitzvah saseh to do Sfiras HaOmer. It's zman grama. You only do it during that time of year. There is a strange Ramban in Kiddush and Lamedal, where the Ramban lists Sfiras HaOmer as a mitzvah saseh she'ena zman grama. That's not taloi in time. It's not a time-bound mitzvah, which is strange. And the Achronim work very hard to try to figure out the Ramban. The Divrei Malkiel suggests that the Ramban is a typo. It said Samachei Ayin, which didn't mean Sfiras HaOmer, meant Seder HaAvoda, and people just mistook it for Sfiras HaOmer. Whatever, they come up with all sorts of sharp ways to try to answer Ramban. But Pashtus is Sfiras HaOmer is a Mitzvah Shazman Grammar, right? Says Maram Shik, if it's a Drabanan though, maybe women would be Chayiv. Why would women be Chayiv in Drabanan? So he has a Rashi Maseches Brachos that says, Mitzvah Saseh Midrabanan Shazman Grammar, women have to do. It's only a heter in that women don't have to do Mitzvah Seder HaOraisa Shazman Grammar. Again, why? So he says, it's so pashut. Why is it that we have to follow the Rabbanan? Why do we have to listen to anything the rabbis say? We have to listen to the Torah because God gave it to us. Why do we have to listen to what the rabbis say? So we assume it's a pasuk in the Torah. What's the pasuk in the Torah? Right, we know the pasuk in the Torah. Lo sasur. Do not veer from what the rabbis say. The Isra of lo sasur. Is that a mitzvah saseh or a mitzvah lo saseh? That's a mitzvah lo saseh. It's a lo saseh in the Torah. Women are chayiv Are women chayiv in all mitzvahs lo sase? Yes, absolutely. Women are chayiv in every single mitzvahs lo sase. They're not chayiv in every mitzvah sase. Mitzvah sase shas bar garment they're from. Every lo sase they're chayiv in. So he says, when you downgrade Sfiras Omer from a mitzvah sase da oraisa to a mitzvah sase da rabbanan, you've included women in the chayiv. Because when it was a daraisa, it's a mitzvah sasei shazman grama. Women are pater. Now that you've downgraded it to only a derabanan, it becomes like a lo sasei, because it's part of lo sasur, and women are chayiv in lo sasur just as much as men are, and therefore women should be chayiv in sfirasa omer midrabanan. Such a chiddush. So if we're going to take that chiddush, let's apply it to us. If the chiluk is that for a mitzvah asay, a person only has to spend 20%, but for a mitzvah lo sase, you have to spend, give up all of your money, what about a mitzvah asay derabanan? Right? Mitzvah asay derabanan. So if you say that a mitzvah asay derabanan is automatically lo sasser, it's like a lo sase. It's not a severe lo sase. It's not one that you get punished for. It has nothing to do with severity. It's a lo sase versus an asay. This is a lo sase. And Mela, I wouldn't have to give 20. I would have to give everything. I don't have the 20% rule. I would have to give everything. So it's a charifus, but I don't think it's correct. And I'll tell you why it's not correct. What was our chakira that we started with? We said, what's the real difference between an asay and a los asay? Why do we distinguish? And we had two possibilities. Either because los asays are more severe, or because los asay are violated actively. When you're dealing with a mitzvah asay midrabanan, it's neither. Right? A mitzvah asay midrabanan is not more severe, certainly, than mitzvah asay daraisa, nor is it violated actively. When you don't do Ner Chanukah, you don't read the Megillah, it's violated passively. So neither of the svaros that we can use to explain why we spend more to avoid violating a lav than we do to fulfill an asay actually works for an asay drabon, even if you want to agree with this Maram Shik, that an asay drabon, the Maram Shik's reading of Rashi and Brach Stav Chav, that an asay drabon is automatically lo sasur, but still plugging it into our chiyuv, it doesn't seem to fit. It would seem that you would be potter. Now, yeah.
How are you judging severity there?
Punishment. There's no punishment because Lo Sasser is just, Lo Sasser is just listen to what the rabbis tell you.
Advice that is very strong.
Right, meaning, you know, it's an Isser, but it's not a punishable one. It's not a punishable offense. So, you know, unless the Rabban give Malkus Marzus, things like that, they can beat you up, but it's not an official Onesh. So if you judge it based on punishment, that's what it would seem to be. Now, there's another issue to take into account, and that is that there are certain, as I mentioned before, there's certain mitzvahs I say, if you're judging this based on severity, there are certain mitzvahs I say that are really severe. If you look at the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Hay, source number 41, he quotes Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to spend exorbitant sums of money on mitzvahs, up until 20% and no more, right? And then he says, Ayn b'prima gadim sham, v'gamlim fi ma she'evenu la'el b'shem etosos dovrim b'al tachrit, m'kein sarach levaziz kol mona alalav. One second. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Earlier on. V'ayin magen avram sham, yesh l'stapik b'mila v'kan b'pesach, kivan dehim chamurim she'esh b'em kares, sarach levaziz kol hono. Maybe when you have an assay that you know is severe, and again, judging severity based on punishment, a mitzvah assay that you chayv karis for, Nila and Karm Pesach, you chayv karis for, maybe you should have to give up all your money for that. O kivan dehim b'shevi al tasei ein sarach levazis rachomesh. Or you could say like the other side, that the reason why los assays are more severe is because it involves active violation. Well, Mila and Karm Pesach involve passive violation, in which case you wouldn't have to spend more than 20%. So there you have Minchas Chinuch really spelling out the chakira that we've been discussing the entire time. But there's one more detail over here. There may be something else that makes a mitzvah sasei more severe or raise a mitzvah sasei to the level of a lo sasei that you would have to give up all your money, other than the level of onesh that you get for it. Maybe another factor. And that's what the Minchas Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Tuf Chaf Gimel, I believe. Actually, no, Minchas Chinuch... No, I'm not sure if the Minchas Chinuch says this over there, but the Minchas Chinuch writes... I'm sorry, the Avnei Nezer writes in the following shayla, and this is the connection to this week's parasha. If you look at the Shaila in the Avnei Nezer, source number 44, Devari Isha Hashem Ista Kenes Belei Dasa, a woman who it's dangerous for her to become pregnant, Varofim Omrim Shi Machma Sheishla Guz Bebitna Ukshimis Gadalis Mesukenes Yoser, she's got something in her stomach that if her stomach expands, it becomes dangerous. Varofim is Hiru Asa Shalot is Dakik Lebaila Achetishta Tchila Koshalikrin. So the doctors told her that she shouldn't sleep with her husband until she takes something to make sure that she won't become pregnant, until she makes sure that she won't be able to have a baby. And she herself says she feels that what's going on inside of her, she knows that it's a problem, meaning the doctors aren't making it up just because they hate her. Husband has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah of Puravu, is she allowed to drink this? Nebuch, she only has three boys, they don't have any girls yet, is she allowed to drink it? So part of what he discusses over here is obviously if it's Sakonis Nefashos, of course she's allowed to drink it. The other side of the Shaila is not, let her not drink it and just get pregnant and die, right? That's not the other side of the Shaila. What's the other side? Is let the husband divorce her. Meaning the halacha is, based on this week's parasha, it's halacha in Shulchan Aruch Evan Ezer. We'll see soon that, thankfully, we don't necessarily pass in this way. Shulchan Aruch Evan Ezer Sim Kuf Nun Dalet Sif Yud Nasa Isha Vishasi Imo Yud Shanim V'lo Yalda. The man marries a woman and they're married for 10 years and she doesn't have a baby, Yotzi v'itein ksuba. You should divorce her and pay up her ksuba, O yisi isha haru'ya leilid, or marry another wife. Meaning so he can fulfill his mitzvah, because he doesn't have the right to be mevatel his mitzvah if he's supposed to be doing a mitzvah peruvu. Vim lo rasa kof nosa'ach yotzi. And if he says, no, I love her, I don't want to divorce her, we beat him up until he divorces her. Vim amar eini ba'ala, etc. Then the Ramah says, yesh omim dekolze delohalit klal. That's only if she didn't have any babies. Aval imholid zera kayama, afli shlokim adayin piriviriviya, but if they have 10 girls or 10 boys, right, they didn't yet get the mitzvah puruvu, ein kofin lahotzi. Then you're not going to force him to divorce her. And then the Ramah adds in a few words, tibizmanaze ein nogin lachav klal. Because nowadays we don't force anyway. Meaning we don't force anyone to do this anyhow. But so that's the issue the Avnei Nezer deals with, and the Avnei Nezer discussing primarily that issue. Does he have to get rid of her? Because now normally part of the svara why if you have a child, even if you don't have the mitzvah puravu yet, why we don't divorce after 10 years, why the halacha wouldn't be to divorce after 10 years, is because you see she's able to have children, you're able to have children, you just haven't had the puravu yet, but the Rabban Shalom will help you, you'll have the puravu. The whole idea of Avram Avinu after 10 years, right, Sarah gave Hagar after 10 years, was because she realized it's not going to happen. Meaning he's never going to get the mitzvah puravu from me. It's never going to happen. But if naturally you see it can happen, so then you would it wouldn't be a problem. You would just rely that it's going to happen. So wait a second. To divorce a wife and to give up all that, you have to do that for a key mitzvah, for a mitzvah sase. You don't even have to give up 20% of your money for a mitzvah sase. You have to give up your wife for a mitzvah sase. So what happened to that rule? What happened to the rule of Mvazis, Ali Vazis, Yosem Chomesh? It seems, and again, this relates to, I guess, next week's topic, which is how we define things other than money in terms of this rule, right? 20% is easy to define in terms of money, or somewhat easy to define in terms of money, but when you're dealing with tsar and pain and physical and emotional torment and anguish, so that's a little bit harder to define. But you got to imagine losing a wife that you've been married to for 10 years, you have to imagine is a little worse than 20% of your money. Right? People, you know, half the world just lost 20% of their money in the stock market, and one would imagine it's yet more traumatic to lose a wife that one still loves. Right? So what's pshat? So says the Avnei Nezer, the pshat is simple. I realize I'm out of time here. Says the Avnei Nezer, the pshat is simple. Puruvu is not just a mitzvah saseh. It's a mitzvah saseh that stays with you every single second of your life. And it's not like, if I don't do it this year, I'll do it next year. Meaning, if you stay married to this woman, you don't marry anyone else, that's going to be your whole life. You're never going to get the mitzvah. If I don't take lulav this year, mitzvah Hashem, my matzav will improve next year and I'll take lulav. So when you have a mitzvah that's every single second, that's constant, it's a constant violation, even if it's a mitzvah saseh, you may have to give up more than 20%. And that's what the Michas Chinuch applies to the mitzvah of mezuzah. Every moment you don't have a mezuzah on your door, it's a violation of the mitzvah saseh of mezuzah. Since it's a constant, it could be that one would have to give up more than 20% of their money in order to be able to do that mitzvah.